Welcome to the Game On Podcast. Tonight, familiar face amongst the runs in a rain-affected third test in Brisbane. And a veteran turns back the clock with a century of his own. And Adelaide United, still undefeated, but a few tough matches to come. Let's do this. Welcome to the Game On Podcast. My name's Pete once again, joining the studio here with Malcolm. And mate, another live stream event here, so really looking forward to it tonight. So anybody out there, shout out and we'll let us know you're listening.
Yep, definitely.
What was your good for the week, mate?
Travis Head and Steve Smith in terms of that regard. And also, I've got to be honest, Indy Rashid somehow becoming a crow. It's staggering.
We will definitely be talking about that a little bit later. But, yeah, absolutely fantastic. Mate, the good for the week probably is Australia's form batsman in Travis Head and also Alex Carey sort of, you know, doing what they needed to do in Brisbane. But
South Australia carrying Australian cricket yet again. Yeah,
absolutely. Look,
it was good Steve Smith for their partnership. Was great. But look, today for mine was pathetic.
Yep.
If in the second innings, if you're going to remotely think of setting a target, well, Head opens.
Yes.
Don't do this Mickey Mouse bit. I think we're going to set him. Now we'll pretend we're setting him a target because our batting's fallen over.
Yes.
And it's going to rain, so we know we're not going to lose. So it was for mine. It was a bit of false bravado.
It was either two ways. You go out there and you go, all right, we're going to smack it around for half an hour, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Knowing whatever might happen. But then wouldn't you want to occupy the crease for a period of time, get a little bit of batting practice in? I don't know. I thought it was two minds.
I thought they'd try to camouflage their own fact that India had gone through them again. I just thought it was bizarre.
Yep.
I felt there was a couple of weird things in this test match. It was also the partnership of Alex Carey and Nathan Lyon in the first innings. And Lyon didn't try to score. Lyon was his 23rd ball before he scored.
Yep.
So that was a bit weird as well. I thought that 10 overs sort of went nowhere, knowing there was so much rain around.
Yes.
I thought it was a couple of weird things then. But mind you, they'd taken the 10th wicket and enforced follow on.
Yes.
Basically, unfortunately, all chance for result went as soon as Steve Smith dropped Rahul off the first ball of the day yesterday. Yep. They're 5 for 51. Jaja has to come out, bat against the start of the day and all that. Totally different game. We may well have rock and rolled him for 80 to 100, and away you go.
That would have been all right. All right, mate, let's get into Around the Grounds and talk a little bit more cricket.
Around the Grounds.
Ashwin retiring today.
All right, mate, let's continue on with the cricket. And basically, as you've just mentioned there, that Ashwin has retired. And, it is a little bit of a weird one for me, even like effective immediately too. Yeah. That's the other thing that worries
for mine,
me.
Mine, I reckon he must have been told he's not going to get picked in the last two. No, I thought he would have played in Sydney.
Yes.
They would have gone with the two in Sydney. Jadeja plays in front of him because he's a better bat.
Yep.
Because Ashwin didn't look at all threatening really in Adelaide.
Yep.
So, it's interesting now, the three test matches, they've played three different spinners. So they're probably a bit confused there, India. I think they'll go with Jadeja now just because he can bat.
Yes. Were you surprised? Bumrah, obviously, they're one wood, I suppose. That's probably the best way of putting it. Rather than, obviously backing up and having a bowler like that in the lineup.
Oh, Bumrah's just their class bowler, and unfortunately, they probably fall away a bit after that.
Yep.
They're missing Shami being injured is probably pretty important for them. And, of course, Australia, it was a little bit bizarre that Hazelwood got picked. You would have thought there's got to be a bit of doubt there. And it's a different injury. It's a calf this time. But
do you play injured players? I know it's a long test series because that's really the only thing that you go.
Fit. They're saying he was fit and it's a different injury. We get that. But he hasn't got a great record of getting through.
Yep. Was it doctor or was it him that was saying he was okay? Or a mixture of both?
It's both. They don't worry. They do plenty of tests and all that.
Yep.
But the other point now is they're now saying they're not sure that Boland can get through back-to-back test matches. So now it's up in the air with what will happen in the fifth test. So it's, but I just thought it was was a little bit weird, and it really hurt him.
Yep.
You know, look, Hazelwood's a very good bowler. You know, he's got 6 wickets at 13 so far in the series.
Yes.
He's 278 test wickets, whatever it is, 278, 280. But he's a gun. We admit that. But it was a risk picking him.
Yes.
And it didn't work.
Well, that's a very, very good point you've made there about bowler not being able to be back-to-back test.
Well, that's theory.
Have we become a little bit too old?
Oh, we are. There's no doubt about that. But there's no one shouting out at Shield level saying, pick me, pick me. Mm-hmm. Now, I hate it now that we go to the Big Bash. So good luck picking a player now.
Mm-hmm.
So Doggett or Abbott.
Yes.
Whatever for the last, if they decide one of them's got to play, well, he's going to come in underdone.
With only four overs each spell.
Mickey Mouse stuff. Yeah, yep. So it's, I hate that, you know.
Because players aren't playing a lot of Shield these days and playing a little bit more 20-20 and a little bit on the 50 overs, getting through a 90-over day.
Well, it showed in Spencer Johnson
that
he broke down with the Shield game here because he did do a fair bit of bowling, and also we failed with a bat, so he bowled pretty closely together.
Yep.
And all, so the things didn't work there. But again, he hadn't had the workload in because of Big Bash, so it's just so hard trying to get bowling into him to play a Shield game, and then he breaks down.
Yep.
So it's a...
Yeah, it's a catch 22, isn't it?
Yeah, massively.
Well, you know, we had questions at the beginning of the summer, probably on the opening and the batting. Do you think that may have sorted itself a little bit? But now the question comes on the bowling.
Oh, I think there's still massive question on the batting. At the moment, you've really only got Travis Head. Yeah, Steve Smith made 100 this game, but he was due.
Mm-hmm.
You've really only, it sounds ridiculous, but Head and Carey are the only two of the seven batsmen who've got plenty of runs in the bank at the moment.
Yep. And and they're talking about Carey maybe not keeping.
No, that'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, would.
He's a mile better keep than Inglis. That's bloody... shove it if that happened.
Yeah,
that
would be crazy. No. I'm just saying that, you know, obviously there's question marks on
him. He's a far better keeper.
Yeah. No, fair call. And we're not just saying that because he's South Australian.
No,
but,
I couldn't care less.
But I think he's certainly still Australia's number one would there.
Yeah.
Virat Kohli failed again a little bit with the bat. Have teams worked him out?
Well, it's just your reflexes are slow, and it's same with Khawaja. You get older, your reflexes, so your eyes start to go as well. Mm-hmm. Your reflexes, we all know, as we're aging.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's massive questions there still, well and truly. And it's also the manner Kohli's getting out. Like, that's fifth stump bot line. That's just let it go through to the keeper.
Yep.
I actually watched him practicing, and again, he was hitting every ball. Let the bloody thing go.
Yep.
Yeah, it was...
Does that happen though when it's you have a need for runs?
I think cricket's changed.
Yep.
Yes, we bag England, you know, with the baz ball
and
the moral victory stupidity by the Poms, in that way. But it's get on with it all the time. Now, it's just not enough letting the ball go.
Yep.
And effectively, Australia won the second test by that partnership with Labuschagne and McSweeney on the first night.
Yes.
I just, setting it up.
Is that because we are playing a lot more T20 cricket? You know, every ball's got value, whereas test match...
value, I just think there's patience and just the ability to grind has gone out of the game.
Yep, and that's where test match cricket will go 5 days. And we did talk about it last week. Are you still a proponent for 5-day cricket or does it go to four-day cricket?
I'm still five, but I'm a traditionalist, so
Anyway, we'll see how it goes. Mate, what does the rest of the series hold and who has the advantage, do you think?
I think there's still massive questions over both sides and really it's smack even with no advantage either side at the moment. You can argue that India probably are more suited to Melbourne and Sydney traditionally, but then the Melbourne track seems to have more grass now than what it did for a fair while.
Yes.
Sydney doesn't spin as much as it used to where it was a spinner's...
Paradise
for a while. Yep. You think Alan Border taking 11 wickets in a 12 in a test match.
Yes.
So things like that doesn't seem to happen so much. The left arm orthodox dominating a test and
Yep.
Yeah.
Just rewinding a little bit to the first innings there. Obviously, Labuschagne didn't quite get off the mark, but he did face 55 balls.
Fight hard, and same with McSweeney. And I thought it was interesting where Steve Smith came and said, yes, hang on, the ball's changed and there's more in these tracks early. So he said, he actually praised saying that set it up for myself and Travis. So I actually thought that was a fair point.
Yep, just saw off the new ball, so to speak, and we're able to do something with it. Alex Carey there with 70 off of 88 balls, and Travis Head, as we spoke about a bit earlier, 152 off of 160. He's just, when he gets going, he gets going, doesn't he?
And Alex, again, the Mickey Mouse, the stupidity of Adelaide's, of the Australia's batting today, Carey was the best by a long way today in the second innings.
Yep, yep. Travis Head has the advantage of taking away games from oppositions, basically almost in a session, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He's the Doug Walters of this era in terms of just the match turner.
Yes.
The match winner, but the match changer, whatever you want to call it in that regard.
Mate, you did briefly talk about Australia's second innings there. Seven declared for 89. We've talked about it before we came on air tonight, what your thoughts were. Who do you think should have opened?
Well, if they were remotely thinking of setting a target, Head open with Marsh, I would have thought. So either do it that way. Hey, India, we're in this. To win this, we're going to set a target.
Yes.
Or don't do the bit. It was false bravado.
Yep.
They knew rain was coming. It was crap.
Yep. The other side of it was, wouldn't you want to stay at the crease for a period of time? But anyway, it is what it is, and those are the tactics that they have used.
I thought they really did it because I think if Australia had been none for that stage, they just would have kept batting. Yep.
Do you think that Australia would have won this test if we didn't have so many rain delays?
You don't know.
There were a million of them. Felt like it went forever. This test has gone forever.
Yeah, the crucial one was Steve Smith dropping Rahul, though. If they're 5 for 51, it's a totally different game.
Yep.
So that was, for mine, was the crucial moment.
Fair enough. And last one on the test cricket, mate. Brisbane, is it the best place for test matches? But also with Tasmania being built, does that come into play for future tests? Do they bypass the Gabba altogether?
Depends on crowd sizes. Oh, I doubt it. I still think I know there's a lot of buy going on amongst political parties about the Olympics coming up, what the hell happens with a Gabba. But you'll be surprised if there's not something done and all that. So I think it'll still stay.
If you're a betting man, do you think that they'll have a new stadium?
Yeah, you just don't know.
The plans are there, but will it actually happen?
Yeah, you just still don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scary thought. I think, most people look at Brisbane as, if they get it right, it could be the new Adelaide as far as you're attracting people to the city centre and obviously around the city of Brisbane.
Well, they've got to get on with it, though. To hurry up and make the decision, it's pretty crazy. Time flies in that situation. They've got to get on with it.
Well, that's right. You only have to have a rain like we've had in the last week.
Building strike, whatever.
Yep, extra heat, holidays. Yeah. It all comes into play, doesn't it?
Yeah, get on with it.
Absolutely. All right, mate, let's move on to some local cricket. BBL, Lloyd Pope absolutely carded in one over in the Strikers. The Strikers were in control and then all of a sudden the game's been taken away from
them. Yeah, while I wasn't watching at that stage, committee meeting last night and that sort of things. Yeah, you're just following it a little bit in the background and, it looked like they had the game won and then all of a sudden, kabang, it wasn't.
Mate, how's this for an over? 6-6, one wide, 4-6, a 4-4.
Yeah, it's not something Lloyd's going to want to get mentioned.
No, I think. But that's also opportunity, though, to jump back on the horse and prove a point.
Crap.
Yeah, absolutely. The Big Bash, the Strikers there playing the Melbourne Stars on the 20th of December at Adelaide Oval this Friday coming. Mate, I'm sure you're going to be down there. Where are you sort of going to be positioning yourself just in case there's anyone looking for a book?
I think a fair chance that the Queen's Head and the Cathedral might get a visit. So just wait and see.
Should be good. I know that it's not your favourite form of the game, but from an entertainment point of view, ideally, what do we get, 30 to 35,000?
Yeah, probably.
Yep.
Yeah, look, again, I agree with that, but it's more for me that it doesn't mean as much afterwards. That's where Yeah, if they win, they win.
Yep.
They lose, they lose.
South Australia own the franchise, like but they don't actually. Yeah.
I'm not like that. And you flick it on and oh, who's playing this year and that.
Fair enough. Let's stay with local cricket. Obviously, no Shield cricket being played at the moment, but Western Australia take on South Australia on the 8th to the 9th of February. I know you will be absolutely dialed in for that one.
Yes, I'll be following that.
Considering we finish the year in top spot, hasn't happened for a while, mate. I know you're going to probably dig out a stat here, if not tonight, but by next time we're on air, about the last time South Australia finished the year in top spot.
I will be when we hosted the final at Glenelg, and then we lost. We really, it's a couple of those decisions.
We have talked about those decisions.
Still there's waiting for Peter Hanscom to get given out LBW by Davidson, the plumbest LBW, as Chad Sayers' language was very colourful, and it was a disgraceful decision. Yep.
Nah, fair enough. All right, mate, let's move on to some local cricket. The 2020 was played in the Premier One and the Premier Two. You've got some results for us, mate?
Yeah, just the Premier One, and it's a bit crazy too. So there was a round played, and that West Torrens defeated Glenelg, reasonably low scoring game, no one really dominating. Sturt were too good for Adelaide. I did go and have a look at the Woodville East Torrens game.
Where was that played?
That was at Campbelltown, and unfortunately, Ryan King dropped a sitter, made Steve Smith look like an attempt at impossible catch, and Drennan made him pay after that, and that was the end of that.
Hey, we didn't talk about this, but what did you think of Mitch Marsh's catch in the, was it the gully?
It was a good catch, but he did add a bit of mayo.
Right, fair enough. Yes. Fair enough.
Port defeated Prospect, Adelaide Uni comfortably defeated Southern Districts, and probably the leading game, Teacher Gully defeated Kensington.
Yep.
But that's all okay.
Well, just before you move on to that, Campbelltown Oval, how much is that being used during the season? Because it's only just up the road from where we are now.
Yeah, did have a South Australian under-19 game there this week. Yep. There was also another game there last week.
The surface
week.
Looks amazing.
Oh, it's a great ground. Oh, yeah. It's fantastic ground.
Yep.
But the Premier Cricket now, so they've done that. Now, they're calling this finals round one. Well, there's eight teams playing.
Okay.
So 12 down to eight. I wouldn't exactly call that. So it's just another game. So Teacher Gully played Kensington.
Yes.
I'm glad that we did talk about that because the venue's been changed. It was programmed at Teacher Gully. It's now at Karen Rolton.
Excellent.
I'm glad I did click on to look at that.
Yes.
Port play West Torrens also at 10 a.m. at Part 25. So I like that they're playing the three games there again.
Yep.
Which is great. So I know where I'll be Saturday morning. Sturt play Glenelg also at the Part 25 things. And the other game is East Torrens playing Woodville. So there's four grounds there. Yep. They're using all four grounds. So that's great.
Well, we've talked about that previously and how that works. Seems to get a pretty good crowd there. And then the facilities obviously getting used.
10 a.m. Saturday morning. So, I know where I'll be.
Anyone looking for some cricket to watch? I know that a lot of other sports have finished for the year. If you're free and you want to have watch a little bit of cricket, definitely head down there. It's free entry and support your local community team, whether it be Port Adelaide, Kensington.
And do your Christmas shopping and buy a book off me.
I was going to save that till last, mate, but that's all right. We'll plug it now. All right, mate, we better get off to a bit of a break here. We're flying through tonight. Tonight's episode's probably going to be a little bit quicker than usual, but being that it's Christmas, we thought we wouldn't bore you to death straight away for the last episode, live episode for the year. And we've got some previous guests. We'll come up with our little favourite guests for the next 2 weeks over the Christmas break. So coming up, we have Adelaide, Tex Walker, what do we expect from him this year? And Adelaide have a bit of a start the car moment with India Rashid slipping to pick number 13. And the 36ers, the imports are back, and so are the 36ers.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Looking to buy or sell your home anywhere in Adelaide, from the hills to the sea? Meet Gary Creeves, your dedicated local agent from Owens Casserly Real Estate. With unparalleled knowledge of Adelaide's housing market and a commitment to exceptional service, Gary ensures a smooth and stress-free experience for all your real estate needs. Trust the expert, trust Gary Creeves at Owens Casserly Real Estate. Your next dream home awaits. Contact Gary today on 0422 071 317 or on email garyk@ocre.com.au. And for more listings, please visit owenscasserly.com.au. Make it happen.
All right, coming towards the end of the year, we do thank our sponsors for keeping us in check. Yep. And anybody that needs a house or a rental over the Christmas period here, head off to Gary Creeves. All right, mate, let's continue with the AFL. As we mentioned there, players and teams obviously back on the track just before the Christmas break. Tex Walker's probably going to be a bit of a focus for Adelaide this year.
Did catch up with him Monday night, actually. Paynham played the Crows boys in a 2020 game at Paynham. The Crows guys play for Princes.
Yes.
And Tex had an easier day than the rest. He'd only had an 8K timed run. The rest had 12Ks, and it was quite amusing. A few of them were quite stiff and sore. Look, Matty Crouch, you can certainly see, he played our grade district cricket when he was 16. He was considered a future Victorian player.
Yep.
And then went footy angle. You can see he can play well and truly.
This is a traditional game that happens every year?
No. This is the Crows represent Princes in the 2020 comp. So
right.
It just happened that Paynham were playing the Crows
boys.
Gotcha. Peatling didn't play, and nor did Thilthorpe, who were their other two better batsmen.
Yep.
So they weren't quite at their full strength, which Paynham didn't mind, and Paynham did get up in the end.
Yep.
There, but yeah, it was good to catch up with Tex and a few of the boys.
Are they looking to potentially use him sparingly this year?
Oh, knowing Tex, he won't be thinking that way. I think I know Taylor well enough in that regard. And that's
obviously Adelaide. What expectations do they have this year? Because last year was a bit of a letdown. The year before, they...
Oh, look, internally, they'll be thinking about making the eight. I still think they're fringe. I still don't... I probably will still have a missing. I still think their weakness in ruck is... Ruck's enormous. Pisses me off that... And I'm just stunned they still haven't done anything in that regard. It's just like deja vu, press the button and nothing's happened.
Yep.
I can't work that out. So I still think there's weaknesses there.
Yep.
Oh, look, I think it's just going to be interesting to see on their recruits-wise how they go,
I think Neil Bullen's going to be important up forward.
Yeah, he gives
Do you
them
see
a bit
him squirting
balance.
Into that sort of midfield mix
no,
every now
and
then?
No, I think he'll play mainly half 40. He's just going to give him better balance, probably a little bit more.
Yep.
A bit better structure.
Yep.
Not Lockie Murphy running around like an unregistered dog a few times.
Yes. And Peatling obviously wants more.
Peatling gives a bit more class. We'll wait and see.
Should be very interesting. Vice versa, we head over the road to Port Adelaide. Obviously, a couple of young guns putting their hands up like a Georgiadis saying, I want the number one role, I want the Dixon role. I think that's pretty
that's
smart
fair
from
enough.
Port Adelaide.
Yeah, I've got no problem with that whatsoever.
What about Horne Francis? Playing him midfield, obviously, but will he spend time up forward?
Oh, he'll do both. He'll play still the same role. He'll be 70-30 sort of thing.
Yep.
So.
Yep. What about finding that replacement for Houston down back?
Let's remember that Kane Farrell wasn't playing in the finals as well.
Yep.
So he's their ball user in that regard.
Yep.
So he goes back, and then from there it'll sort itself out.
I still think Port Adelaide's weakness is definitely their
I think
their
he's
back
a big
line.
Loss. He's a big yep. loss. He really is.
Well, you had two that could fire from either side when now all you need to do is clamp down on one. And
well, it showed without the two there in the finals
yes.
how their ball use out of defence was pretty average.
Yep. That's where someone like a Lukosius, it's going to be interesting to see how Port Adelaide
I know the plan at the moment is key forward, but I'll be amazed if he doesn't end up playing the utility role. I just can't see how it doesn't happen.
Yep. So, that should be very, very interesting. Mate, the AFL's come out today and said that there are no rule changes for 2025, including the sub rule. What are your thoughts on that, mate?
Just go five to the interchange. I think the sub rule. A kid makes their debut and then doesn't go on the ground. Yep. And things like that happen. I just think it's a bit crazy. If it was just for concussion,
yep,
no problem with it.
Yep.
But this way, it's a mix. Yes, but not a no.
More for going back to the four on the bench. Four.
And if the fifth one, if it's there for concussion, no problem with that, but not otherwise.
So the tactical sub is basically,
blah, blah, blah.
All right, mate, if I was to give you a magic wand right now or a crystal ball, what would be the two or three rule changes you would make to improve the game?
Well, not so much rule change. Actually pay in the back and over the shoulder. Mm-hmm. Actually pay the first free kick. Not leave it. Let it go. Tackle however you like and then ping the poor bastard who's making the play at the bottom of the pack. That's the one which really eats at me and I can't stand.
Yep.
Just pay the first free kick.
But no other rule changes? No. I mean, we introduced the 666 and the stand rule. I think they've been relatively successful.
I don't like the stand one as much, but I understand why it's there. I can still see, maybe.
Because defenders are rolling rather than...
It does help the attacking side, so we get that.
Yep.
I think either just have that you still can, the ball can go out of bounds, or bring in the last touch rule like the SANFL have. Right. Now, you've got to also remember that at least... At AFL grounds, you're playing on a big ground.
Yep.
I don't like the last touch rule at Nord, Unley or Glenelg when it's a windy day and the ball gets blown out of that way and that. And also, you got to remember, because that rule's there, the plus one just goes in the middle and so it doesn't help. So that's where I hate the rule.
Mm-hmm.
On a big ground, I think it's fine.
Yep. I'm a big proponent for the last touch out of bounds, but I'm also a big proponent for the 666, but having minimum numbers in each 50.
Yeah.
Like the under 18s.
Well, that's Styx Phillips' point, where Styx said, hang on, it's nice and hard that you're watching 18s, so you're recruiting on 18s, and Tom Scully, who's been delisted from Port, is a classic example of that. Gets recruited because a big part of it, of the anti-density rule, and it's 6'8" outmarked, person is one-on-one.
Yep.
Well, either have it or don't have it. Have it the whole way through or not at all.
Well, and we've talked about this previously.
It's just crazy.
Have this through all the leagues in every suburban ground.
Or not at all.
Or not at all. That's exactly right.
For mine, because it's ridiculous that you're trying. It's hard enough assessing where you think a guy's going to be and develop and all that. Well, but under different rules is crazy.
Yep.
Doesn't make sense.
Unfortunately, with the way the game is that it's become Auskick where you are following, the hot spots following the ball around the place. I think the anti-density rule is one that could be brought in without too much interruption. And I think the last touch... It's the most contentious, apart from holding the ball, and you've obviously talked about over the back and pushing the back and over the shoulder, et cetera, et cetera, and I agree with that. Holding the ball out of bounds, deliberately are the two biggest ones that rile fans up left, right, and centre.
If you go with the last touch, it's the rule. We know the rule. It took us a while to adjust at SANFL, and this, as I said, the windy thing is where I don't like it. But I think one thing where the best rule is actually in AFLW, where it's not on. So you're going forward.
Yes.
You go to kick it to your forward. You stuff up the kick. It goes out of bounds. It's a throw in.
Right.
Because you're not trying to kick that out of bounds.
Yep.
So I think that's actually a better rule than what we've got at SANFL level.
Could you have it so that way if it's inside the 50, it's just automatic throw in?
Yeah, throw in.
Whereas anything outside the 50s or you're trying to kick out of the 50, but I think that could work.
Yeah, it is. For mine, the rule at AFLW and SANFLW is far better than what it is at SANFL level.
I always thought that the SANFL last touch out of bounds and some of these rules were brought in as a
test case?
Well, that's what we all thought. We thought the AFL were going to copy, and amazingly they haven't. It's almost like, shit, it's worked, so we don't want to do it because we didn't think of it first.
It's one of those crazy ones, isn't it? Because, you know, you'd have enough statistical data now to be able to tell you that it does work. And it's great watching SANFL football on the weekend when you can't get live to the game, in how that they are really working hard to work the corridor over.
Yeah, and then you get the AFL, oh, the game's never been better, bullshit and all that. Stop treating us like fools,
yep.
Laura Kane and Dylan. You know, like it's crap.
Yep.
Don't treat people like idiots.
All right. Well, out of all of that, I think our magic ball or our magic wand has sort of said, out of bounds deliberately, but not going forward inside the 50s.
That's how I feel. Yep.
I like that. I'm a big proponent for last touch out of bounds. Obviously, over the back and pushing the back and over the shoulder.
Yep.
And then the minimum numbers in the forward 50s, I think, could really work. And that might actually see somebody get closer to 100 goals than not, which would be amazing. And I can't see, without some of these rule tweaks, can't see that ever happening. I can't ever see another player getting 100.
It's a worry in that regard. Yep. Something we all love, this guy kicking the 100 goals. It's huge.
I mean, you watch
run on the ground and all that bit. Yeah, it's you know, something like even the bit of when Buddy kicked his 1,000th and everyone on the ground is Sydney. And
But Sydney, though, too.
Yeah, it was.
Embraced the tradition. Everybody got involved. Yeah, all right, it was probably a little bit dangerous as far as all of that goes. But it's a historical moment.
One of Dylan Stevens' best mates didn't run out of Buddy, ran out to say hello to Dylan and offered him a beer. So that was quite funny.
Absolutely love it. Mate, it's going to be an interesting season. It's not too far away now. Obviously, most teams are breaking, obviously, for the Christmas break, but a lot of them won't be getting on the Christmas pudding. Not too much.
No, there's not the D Jarman FUD coming back anymore.
There'll be a few that'll be definitely working pretty hard to come back in some very good shape after Christmas.
Well, trust me, after watching the Crows boys Monday night and how stiff they were, well, Tech said that is one of the hardest, if not hardest, sessions he's had at Adelaide. So that's probably an indication. And it was stinking hot too. So yeah.
Do you think that's also being that it's pretty much for the last session of the year?
They had one today, and they weren't told what it was going to be, so they were a bit nervous about that.
Yep.
Today
another 12k.
So, haven't heard anything else yet.
Right. Look forward to hearing about what might be happening there. All right, mate, we better move on to AFLW. The Adelaide Crows had a bit of a start the car moment, as I already mentioned earlier.
Massive.
India Rashid falls to 13, and we're all sort of thinking top five.
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
No, it's crazy. Can't believe clubs were just so scared, didn't pick her in terms of worried about her coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get it. Nah. Back your process. Back your culture. It is crazy. Adelaide, it is an IKEA start the car moment.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. That changes Adelaide up completely.
Yep.
That's how good. She's good. She plays round one. Don't worry about that.
Absolutely.
But she'll have a significant impact as well. She'll play the high half forward role to start with. And you know, Indy's got a long leg on her. So
she's a lefty too.
So that helps Gould and Randall out. Yeah, so it's huge. It is a massive pickup.
Yep. Obviously, no one was expecting it to fall to 13, but Adelaide, obviously, Indy Rashid, obviously being a Port Adelaide Academy player, basically.
I may have. Get by fluke, ran into Roger Rashid today and did stir him up. I did make him buy a book too, by the way.
Yep.
Stirred him up that I hope he's playing the Crows song on repeat at breakfast and things like that. So, yeah. But he was very complimentary to the Adelaide Football Club with their AFLW program. Very, very complimentary to Phil Harper.
Mm-hmm.
And I did speak to Harps today as well. And, yeah, he couldn't believe it. He thinks this is the biggest steal ever in AFLW history.
Well, obviously, this was the first genuine draft that we've had, so it's going to be interesting to see how that all pans out, say, in the next 3 to 5 years.
Yep.
Roger Rashid has obviously just come through that he's been offered a small little job with the Adelaide Footy Club pretty much right from the get-go.
Yeah, we won't see on that one. Yeah, yeah.
I'm assuming it'll be something to do with high performance or media or something along those lines as well.
We didn't talk about that.
Yep. Yep. Well, it'll be interesting to see. All right, mate. Let's talk about it was the first, obviously, genuine draft that we have had, but former guest of the podcast, Craig Martin, look, his daughter Grace got drafted to GWS.
Yeah, look, I haven't spoken to Craig yet. I will give him a call and yep. wish young Grace all the best in that way. So touch base with Craig. So, yeah, all the best to Grace off to GWS.
Absolutely. I know that, you know, Craig, being a massive Port Adelaide man, now has to get on board with GWS.
That won't worry him.
I'm stirring a little bit there, mate.
Yeah.
Absolutely well done. All right, mate, we better take another quick break. Coming up, we've got Phil Harper Part 2, which you just mentioned there. And Chris Threadgold. Part 1. Really looking forward to hearing from Chris there.
You're listening to the Game On Podcast.
We'll be right back after this short break.
A dent and scratches putting a dent in your day? Introducing Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide, your trusted solution for automotive woes. With over two decades of expertise, Roger Steen Crash Repairs guarantees top-notch service, restoring your vehicle to its former glory in no time. From minor dings to major collisions, our skilled technicians handle it all with precision and care, using state-of-the-art equipment and techniques.
Roger Steen Crash Repairs saved my car. It looks brand new.
Fast, friendly, and reliable. I wouldn't trust anyone else with my vehicle. Don't let accidents slow you down. Visit Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide at 14 Penner Avenue, Glynde, for quality service you can count on. And here's a special offer just for our listeners. Mention this podcast and receive a $100 discount on your repair. Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide. Excellence in every repair.
Liking this podcast? Please like, rate, and subscribe. Flashbacks.
All right, mate, once again, we thank sponsors there for their generous support of our podcast. Anyone looking to get involved or would like their logo on the screen to help us out, please get in touch for 2025.
Definitely.
Mate, let's get into flashbacks this
let's
week.
Let's just say quickly on Craig, I'm more keen to catch up with him away from his business quite so much for 2025.
Nah, yes. Fair enough. Hopefully no one runs into you again, mate. Let's move on to flashbacks this week. We're going to take a look at some absolutely famous moments that have happened in the Boxing Day test matches. Obviously, there's been a few over the journey. Yes. I think you've reeled off a couple there. Do you want to relive a couple of your favourite moments?
Kim Hughes' 100 against West Indies, and then Lily getting out Richards off the last ball of the day.
Yep.
Still one of the greatest days test cricket. And I think one of the all-time great innings. Kim Hughes making 102 out of 198 on memory.
Yes.
It was an unbelievable innings on a pretty average track. And then, of course, DK Lilly getting three before bowling Richards off the last ball. And West Indies were 4 for 10 at stumps. And then amazingly, because Tony Crafter was umpiring and he told us this, very early on the first, it was either first or second over the next day, Jeff Lawson fielded it, threw the stumps down, and Tony looked around and no one said a word.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry Gomes would have been run out and the West Indies would have been 5 for 10 and no player appealed.
Well, we'll play what we've got here, but there was a few there that we might actually put on an extended edition over the holiday break of some of these flashbacks that we've got going on here. But yeah, sit back and enjoy.
Brought the MCG alive. Oh, he's hit that through cover. That's six.
And this is going to be a century. Yes, it is. Matthew Hayden. Oh, he's gone for it. This could be 100. This could be it. He's hit it for six. What a way to go. Justin Langer has smashed it to the boundary.
That will be 250. Justin Langer. Run down to third man. 250, not out. 12th Australian to score 250 in a test match innings. He still looks pretty fresh.
Oh, that's well played. Lovely shot. Ricky Ponting loves him in that area.
That's brilliant. Ponting on 99. And that will do it. There's test match century number 20.
Ponting's gone for it. He's in the 190s. He's gone whack. There it is. No run out, he's home. Well played, Ricky Ponting.
Double hundreds in successive games.
Obviously, some very key moments there. Mate, you did mention just as we were playing it that the Shane Warne wicket, you were actually there for that one.
Yeah, I actually worked at that test match at the G, and it was quite bizarre that by pure fluke, that was the ball I'd actually just knocked off.
Yes.
And so that was the first ball
that you got to watch.
That I'd actually was just standing there next to a couple of guys, and yeah. So it was just in ridiculous timing.
Unbelievable. And then obviously Nathan Lyon there taking that wicket was another big one. I mean, there's nothing better than Boxing Day, 70, 80, 90,000 at the G.
That was going to be the one where they were going to chant, you know, do something on the third ball that had been published through Facebook and you got a wicket.
Yep.
Which changed all that, yeah. And, you know, we talked about the Langer one. Yeah, I do remember that. So he got 254 that innings in the end. There's been so many famous Boxing Day
absolutely
test matches.
Mate, I can't wait to sit down this Boxing Day, and as like most people, the first ball of the Boxing Day test is a staple and a tradition. And then you sort of ease your way into leftovers from Christmas Day, and then it's over to the boat race,
Sydney Harbour
out of the heads. And then back to the cricket as well. So it's certainly a tradition that will be definitely held up in this household, that's for sure as well. Yep. All right, mate, let's scoot into the Extra Time Big Finish.
Extra Time Big Finish.
All right, mate, we didn't mean to go past this one a little bit earlier, but the Adelaide 36ers back on the winners track with a big win over the New Zealand Breakers. How was it? 111 to 94.
Yep.
Huge result. And the imports are certainly
back, and I think they've got a point to prove now because, like we've already mentioned, it was a bit of a kangaroo court.
Yeah, and they're pretty angry about it, and justifiably. So, look, I'd love the 36ers to shove it up them now.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think that decision was just disgraceful.
Yeah, I can certainly see them going on a little bit of a tear and really starting to put a few games together, which would be fantastic. The next game is obviously Christmas Eve here in Adelaide, 5 p.m., the Entertainment Centre. Yeah. So, I might actually be near there. I might see if I can get a ticket.
You better hurry up.
I better hurry up.
It's a hard ticket to get hold
it's
of.
It's one of those ones, isn't it, that you just can't just roll up and grab a ticket. So I might see if I can squeeze one in there Christmas Eve. But good luck to the Adelaide 36ers there. I really hope they get on a bit of a run and, like you said, prove a few wrong. And, come the end of the season, should be very, very interesting to see how that all pans out. All right, let's move on to tennis. Nick Kyrgios and Novak Djokovic have agreed to team up in the doubles in the Brisbane International.
Unless one of them pulls out with injury, it's probably paying about $1.05.
No, I don't reckon. They're pretty close.
Yeah.
So I reckon they will play.
Hopefully.
It'll be the hottest ticket in town.
Yeah, it will be. Can't say I love either of them, but
I'm trying to extract as much out of you, and I just can't make. Kyrgios and Tanasi Kokkinakis, obviously from South Australia here, teaming up in the Australian Open doubles.
Yes, thank goodness.
So hopefully they can get back to their winning ways and have a bit of fun and draw a few crowds. I'm sure they'll get.
I barrack from a bit more in that one.
No, that's fair enough. The Adelaide International, obviously coming to Adelaide, it's probably a little bit more. Names a little bit more on the women's side than the men's, but there's still a very, very good quality field there. But we'll talk about this over the next few weeks as well, is that the top tennis will be at the Drive from January 6 to 11.
Yep.
Like most of these events, you probably need to start looking at getting your tickets now or getting organised now because they will sell out. It's all undercover now down at Memorial Drive. If you haven't been down there since they've redeveloped, it's fantastic what they've done down there.
Job.
Absolutely. All right, mate, let's move on to baseball. The Adelaide Giants started off the season a little bit slowly, but now they've regained a bit of mojo and really putting it together.
Yeah, it's getting back amongst it now, building slowly.
Always hard after you win back-to-back titles and new players coming in. You've obviously got players on loan from, I think it's the Philadelphia I can't remember their but anyway, the Philadelphia. No, it's not the Braves. The Phillies, basically. So it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, how that their future players are going to slot into Adelaide's lineup. All right, let's move to golf. We need to get Craig Martin on over the next few weeks, obviously, to talk about Grace, but also talk about LIV Golf. It's back here in Adelaide, February 14 to 16. Gonna be a few guys in the doghouse, I reckon.
Yeah, just they'll be hoping they don't get stinking hot weather though. So yeah,
because it has changed because it was in March, early April. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how that pans out. They'll still sell it out. The drinking hole will certainly be very, very popular. All right, mate. Let's move on to the SANFL. We're wrapping things up pretty quickly here. If you haven't already, like, rate, and subscribe, and that just helps keep our numbers going. But we'll move on to the SANFL round one. Was dropped yesterday, but the full rounds have obviously been dropped today. But round one, Port Adelaide v Glenelg.
Yeah, the Port side with, you know, bit of taste around the SANFL traps on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And Glenelg obviously
reigning
side
premiers.
To beat as well. And who they've picked up getting Pardin and back, Parnell.
Yep.
Yeah, so they're going to be very, very hard to
Lions.
Beat. Yeah, and Lions.
Gets scary, doesn't it?
Yes.
Centrals v the Eagles.
Wait and see on that one. Who's picked up? Because obviously Central's losing McClellan and they're losing a couple others. So it'll be, but they've picked a bit up as well. And I know the Eagles are quietly going behind the scenes.
Yep. They started off the year like a house on fire last year and then fell in a little bit of a hole late. But I'm sure they'll address that. West v Adelaide.
Yeah, I'd have money on Adelaide.
No, me too. South v Sturt.
Again, you're going to pick.
Probably Sturt.
Yep.
And the big one here is a Saturday night live game on Channel 7, 7 Plus.
Yeah.
Nord v North.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
At Cooper Stadium.
At the home of football.
Yes.
And so, yes, looking forward to a Saturday night game at Nord. Yeah.
I was surprised when I saw that there.
It was a
Saturday night game instead of a Friday night game.
Yeah,
so
I like that.
Obviously looking to cash in on the Foxtel slash
Channel 7 markets, maybe, potentially, that maybe. There's no AFL football being televised on Channel 7 apart from the Adelaide teams.
Yeah.
So maybe looking to cash in on that market there, which I think's not a bad little strategic move. All right, mate, let's move on to a few players moving clubs over the summer, and we have to congratulate former guest of ours. We've had him on a couple of times now, Harry Boyd, being selected for St Kilda for this year.
Absolutely rapt for Harry. He's a quality guy. I can't emphasise that enough. I have just so much respect for him as a person.
Yep.
Rapt for him. Look, desperately hoping that he plays in the gather round because St Kilda are playing at the home of football. Yep. So it could be the most vociferous scoreboard barracking that there's been for someone at AFL level. Yep. So wishing Harry all the best.
Do you see him getting a ruck roll?
Hopefully, and they'll play Marshall up forward a bit more. I know Harry's hoping that's the way it's going to be. We're just going to wait and see.
Yep. Should be interesting. You did mention another Norwood player that's coming back. Obviously, yeah. Didn't quite get picked up, but
Bain and Lowe.
Yep.
News did come through today. We'll be back at the parade. A little bit of doubt with his shoulder as well, so we've got to wait and see how that plays out as well. But yeah, I rate him. I'm surprised he's not on an AFL list.
Yep.
But obviously very happy to have him back at the parade. Unlucky for Baden.
Yes.
Bainham, but rapt to have him back on the parade.
Nick Rokar, have we heard anything on that at the moment?
No, not
it's again gone yet. All very quiet at the moment, so I'm assuming that some...
Things are happening behind the scenes.
Things are happening, behind the scenes, as I said.
Yep.
Mate, is there anything else you'd like to add to, before we head off? The good, the bad, the ugly?
Look, I think the good was Travis Head and Steve Smith. For me, the bad, the ugly was today. I just thought Australia, it was Mickey Mouse. Either do it properly or not at all.
Yep.
And it was really a false bravado. Hide, we can declare and make it look like we had a slog and fell over doing it. It was bullshit.
Yep. That's pretty cool. And you're bad? I mean, the ugly was pretty ugly.
Yeah, the ugly in that. Not bad. It's 2020, so I'm not at the moment, but probably Lloyd Pope just doesn't read well. Yeah, you know, against him, unfortunately. You know, mate, it's not having a crack at Lloyd. It just works that way.
You stole my thunder. That big over really did cost, and unfortunately, probably not the right time to bowl him. But hey, you live and learn. You live for these things, and sometimes they pay off, and sometimes they don't. Yeah, so.
And Allen did have two overs, one for 10. Should he therefore Popey bowled earlier as well? So
No, that's okay. Yep. And it's only the first game. It's a marathon, not a sprint, as we say on the bowling green a few times there. That we're down by a bit, but that's all right. We'll get back, mate. My good for the week, obviously, like you, was probably Head and Carey, obviously along with Smith. My other good for the week, and we should have mentioned this a little bit earlier, is that Adelaide are going to be playing Port Adelaide in a preseason showdown Friday, the 21st of February, up at the Summit. Obviously, there's been a lot of publicity about the Summit with it not being used. Obviously, this is a bit of a win for them up there, considering the gather round has now been taken away. Exactly right. Do you see that being the almost every year now being the home of where it's going to be played preseason?
Yeah, possibly, but I just hope common sense comes into play because it hasn't been with the costs which have been charged to clubs. It's been moronic stupidity, if I'm being really honest. So hopefully a little bit more, you know, get your head out your backside might have a few people up there to make sure that facility's used because it's been crazy what's happened.
Yeah, absolutely. My bad, like you said before, was Lloyd Pope. Unfortunately, like I said, unfortunate that he got carted around a little bit there, but that happens from time to time. And my ugly was probably the Brisbane, administration with the rain and you know, basically costing Cricket Australia, $100,000 on day one.
It was quite funny because 15 overs,
yes.
You don't get your money back. So don't dare think Cricket Australia weren't desperate to get that extra 10 balls over and done with.
Yes. Mate, it just was messy. It just seemed like a long test. Maybe we've become accustomed to these three or four-day tests.
Exactly.
All of a sudden, this one stretched out all of 5 days and pretty much all three-quarters of it was underwater. That rain on the first day, though, that's just unbelievable how a ground can recover that quickly from it. So that's probably my ugly is the Queensland weather, unfortunately. Normally it's beautiful one day and perfect the next, but not on this occasion. It was wet one day and even wetter the next.
As Matty Hayden said, though, and people can not say climate change, oh, a lot of crap, but Brisbane, where there used to be an afternoon thunderstorm, it might absolutely belt down and then it's 20 gone. Minutes later, bang, it's gone. But we're now, it's humid and then the rain earlier. So, yes, it has changed. Exactly. You can't deny that.
Well, and Adelaide's exactly the same. How much humidity we're getting down here at the moment is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we've covered the good, the bad, the uglies for this week, mate. Absolutely fantastic year that we've had. We will put together over the next couple of weeks a couple of favourite episodes for you guys to relive, and we'll be back in the new year. So I wish you and your family a Merry, Merry Christmas. Yep. I wish all of our listeners a Merry, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Likewise.
A very safe New Year. And if you are looking for any last-minute gift ideas, you know the man to hit him up.
There's a certain book at Dillon's or Malcolm Ashwood. Unfortunately, I'm not on Facebook anymore. That's a different story.
Yep.
Grrr.
Yep.
Yes.
Hopefully we get that sorted out for the new year.
No, that's not happening.
Mate, I thank you once again. And as per usual, we have to do better next year.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you, mate.
In this crazy world we live in, we all need the distraction. Enjoying the show? Like, rate, and subscribe. Hook up and connect with us on social media at SportsCastSA. We'll see you next time on Game On.